live, he's nationwide. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, welcome back inside the Convention Center here in New Orleans. Zach Gelb here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Fun show so far as we talked to Dan Marino in the last hour. Still to come, Pat Surtain the second will stop by, Will Anderson Jr., and will also be joined by number five, Donovan McNabb. Always enjoy talking to number five, especially when you do look at this Super Bowl matchup. You got the Eagles connection with Jalen Hurts, and we're going to get his thoughts on Jalen. And then he played for Big Red, Andy Reid. So I do wonder, when you look into that landscape, how moving forward, the Eagle fan, if the Eagles do lose this game on Sunday, are going to look back at Andy Reid. Because Andy Reid was unbelievable for that franchise. Andy Reid got that franchise going back in the right direction. And from that, they laid a foundation of something of a culture that was really good. And eventually it was time for Andy to go. Andy landed on his feet, and he went from being a good coach to a great coach to an all-time great coach. And he got his quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, and they were in the right spot, right? Brady towards the end, Belichick towards the end of their dominance. And once that did disappear, really the floodgates were open. And now we've seen Kansas City win not one, not two, but three Super Bowls, and they could win a fourth one. So to see Andy and what he has done, and if Andy wins on Sunday, takes another one away from the Eagles. So that would be two times he beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I don't think anyone will ever dislike Andy Reid, but how many times are you going to pretty much, you break up with someone, it's amicable when you break up, but then you see them start to date somebody else, and then you end up getting jealous. Like, that's what it pretty much would be for Andy Reid, and there could be like a little animosity. I don't know if it'd be full animosity, but a little animosity. And hey, if the Eagles didn't ever win a Super Bowl, I think that storyline would be filled with a little bit more hatred. But since the Eagles did get one, it kind of eases a little bit when they lost the Super Bowl a few years ago. And now joining us live on set, he is one of my favorite broadcasters, and he is one of the best pound-for-pound broadcasters in the business. He could call anything. I've even said this before. Like, Kevin Harlan can at any time talk about anything, and I'm just all ears, and I want to listen. The great Kevin Harlan is here with us. Kevin, how you been?
It's so good to see you. Well, we met here, right? Am I back in the a long time ago?
Yeah. Well, I was in... Oh.
Now, I'm going back.
College, I think?
Maybe.
Yeah, and you gave me a very nice compliment.
It was a long time ago, and but it's good to see you, my friend.
No, it's great to see you. How's things been, all right? Little Super Bowl week?
Yeah.
Got a game to call on Sunday?
Yeah, I do. I had a game last night in Boston with the Celtics for TNT, and now down here in New Orleans and seeing all the familiar faces, which is always so much fun. But the enormity of the game and the prestige of the game and the honor to broadcast the game is always just so, it's overwhelming when you think about it. I'm so happy.
Your schedule's crazy. And like, if you were an NBA player, right, you'd be asking for load management days, but with what you do, NBA, NFL, all over the place, radio, TV, you know, why does this never get old for you, just one?
Well, I think the challenge of always trying to do it your best, and I don't know that I ever walk away from a broadcast feeling like, you know, boy, I nailed that one, or boy, that one's going to be hard to beat. There's always, when I go back and listen or watch, it's always something I could improve on, something to try to get better. I kind of feel that in this business in particular, if you're not looking to improve and accepting the challenge and knowing that there are hundreds lined up and backing you to do your job that would take that job in a second, that you'll lose it. And if you don't stay on top of things and try to evolve, you're going to find yourself in trouble. So because I love the business so much, like you do, I guess I kind of feel like I'm always looking to get better. So I hope this Super Bowl broadcast in a couple nights is better than the one I did last year, and I hope the one last year was better than the year before. Finding some different way to tweak or turn or twist something into a better call than I did, and I love that challenge. And I guess I'll know when it's time to stop, when I don't feel that need to get better, to evolve and and accept the challenge.
Now, you like the Tom Brady broadcasting. Seriously. Because there's some guys, right, eventually it's time to retire. For you, you sound as good as ever.
Well, you're very kind to say that. And I will tell you that, and I'm sure you listen to your work too, the only way I think in any profession is to really analyze what you're doing and how you're doing it. And broadcasting is such a subjective business. It's not objective in any way. It's so subjective. You put 10 people in a room, 4 like you, 4 don't, and 2 don't care. And your goal is to make it so that the 4 people that don't like you somehow maybe turn that page and say, you know what, that was a good call. That was a good broadcast. And so I'm always striving. I don't want to cheat the business, and I don't want to cheat myself. I don't want to cheat myself in terms of this is my profession. I've been broadcasting since I was 14. I just want to make sure that I give it a go. I never want to look back, and I'm sure you're the same way. I don't want to look back and say, man, I wish I had worked a little bit harder to get that game out preparation-wise. I wish I had given a little more effort during the game, shown a little bit more energy. I never want to look back at that. Now, I can step back and say, I gave it all I had. I may have been a little bit sick or bad travel schedule, sure, whatever the case is. But you're always just trying. I'm always trying to one-up the last broadcast. And that's a challenge that I like right now.
14-year-old Kevin Harlan, I'm sure you were in your room and you were doing tapes and things like that.
I was doing games. Like. I turned down the sound on the TV. I did that really when I was about 10 or 11, yeah, and then did it all through high school. My parents thought they had a whack job in their in their hands. The door would be closed. The volume would be down, and here I'd be doing...
The guy is drunk.
Yeah, yeah. I've been doing all kinds of games off of TV. And then in my mind, when I was that age, yeah, just a little guy, I pretend, all right, we got to go catch our flight. And I pretend that I was going to the airport and getting on a plane,
yeah,
and going to my next game.
It's so funny. You have so many iconic calls, but I really hope, and I know the NFL probably won't like me saying this, but I really hope there is someone running on the field in the Super Bowl, because the way you describe it on the radio for Westwood One, whenever a fan enters the field, which you're not supposed to do, as good as it gets.
Well, you're kind to say that. You know, they both happened when the game has been boring and kind of out of hand.
Neil Uplift.
So that has added to it a little bit.
Do you guys stage that? If the game is boring, do you guys have like a guy that you go, okay,
no,
Ryan McGuire's going to organize someone to run on the field?
No.
We can help you out there.
Yeah.
If you just want to pay the bail.
Yeah, I get the bail. No. I don't write anything down to say. I don't think about if something funny happens, here's what I'm going to say to be cute about it.
Yeah.
You know, there's some guys that do that. I just have not done that. I've tried to do it organically. It works for them, doesn't work for me. I think anything that you've got written out sounds a little staged. It won't sound like it's in the
sure
flow of the broadcast. So I don't know that I'll ever do it again. You know, of course, you never say never. But those were unique circumstances.
Yeah, it was fun
when those guys came out, and I think people took it as being fun. Yes.
Yeah, well, you can't please. You know this, especially on social media.
Yeah,
you can't please. You do nothing wrong, and people freak out.
I don't go to social media. Vern Lundquist told me one time, he said, one of the biggest disappointments of my career. This is Vern Lundquist talking.
He's like one of the sweetest people, too.
One of the nicest, kindest, sweetest souls you'll ever meet. He said, I went to social media after one of our college games, and I looked up my name.
No.
And I read what people were saying
for Vern?
About me. Yes. And it broke my heart. He said, I told myself, I'll never do it again. So, with that in mind, when he told me that story, I said, I'm not going to look. I'm not even going to get caught up in it. So, my wife or my girls will tell me, our daughters will say, hey, there's something being said that you should look at, or this person had something really nice to say, and it was a well-known person. But otherwise, I do not go. I really don't care. And I just kind of plow ahead. That social media, man, that is a trap, and if you're in the trap, it's hard to get out of it.
You know what? I'm actually jealous because it's kind of a generational thing,
it
too.
It is. Yeah, it is. I mean, you're right, and you're a young guy. And
I grew up in it.
It's tough to ignore because no one loves criticism. Everybody likes some kind of applause or some kind of a bad boy.
But it could break some people, though, man.
Oh, and it has.
Like,
it,
like there's some people in our business where I go, you got to understand, 50% of the people are going to love you, 50% of the people are going to hate you.
So true.
And if the bad tweets aren't coming in, you're actually not doing your job well, because this is what I've always realized. Whenever you leave a job, everyone that said they hated you, that's when they reach out, oh, I really missed you.
Yeah.
It always happens.
Exactly. So you try to navigate it, especially. I just feel like I've got so much on my plate. The last thing I need is to sit there and read what some guy in whatever city, America, says about me. And then if you ever look on there, as I've done, and he's got like 10 followers. I go, yeah. Oh, come on. Why am I spending my time and my mental energy sitting and reading what this person is saying? If they like me, they like it. And if they don't, they don't. I did not get in the business for people to like me.
Sure.
I got in the business, as you probably did too, because you love the business.
Yeah.
Not to get a bunch of praise and adulation and you know, plaudits. You get in the business because you love broadcasting. You love being a reporter. You love hosting a show. I love doing games. You know, that's why you got in, but not to get some kind of affirmation from some guy in Nebraska, you know, to say, hey, that really sounded bad, or that sounded great. You know, you don't get in.
Probably more New York. You know, Nebraska, yeah, they're too nice of
New York has got a lot of opinions.
Yeah.
A lot of opinions.
What stands out to you the most with this game from a coverage standpoint, storyline standpoint?
Well, how much the Chiefs are a team. They're so connected. They don't have a lot of Hall of Famers. I don't think pound for pound the roster measures up to the Eagles, but they've always found a way. They got that intangible that all winning teams have. They always find a way. You can't teach it. You can't coach it. You can't practice it. And, you know, Brady had that with the Patriots. Brady didn't play with many Hall of Famers. I look on that Philadelphia side. Look at all the
loaded.
Terrific. Oh, my God. Their offensive line, second to none. Defensive, at some positions, second to none. The running back, the best in the league. The quarterback on any given Sunday is the best QB in the league. He was the MVP a couple years ago until they lost. So this, to me, is the sternest test the Chiefs have faced yet in any of the previous five Super Bowls they've been in.
To me, the Eagles have become America's team because they're the last hope for us to maybe see Kansas
amazing?
City get
yeah.
down.
You know,
Cowboys fans will like that.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is about the Chiefs is their dynasty is coming right in the heels of the Patriots dynasty.
Back-to-back, crazy.
It's stunning because this should not happen in the salary cap era. This should not happen in the era parity. We should not be seeing dynasties. And if you look back at the Niners of the 80s and the Cowboys of the 80s and Pittsburgh of the 70s and Green Bay of the 60s and the Browns of the 50s and on and on and on, you saw teams that were loaded with Hall of Famers. I mean, they had like double-digit Hall of Famers. But not now. Brady didn't play with more than just a couple, and Mahomes is the same way.
I know you have to run. Just one last quick question for Kevin Harlan, Westwood One. How did you find out about the Luka trade? Because I was getting ready to come out here. I had an early morning flight. The alert goes out by Shams, and I go, crap, I'm getting no sleep tonight.
I was driving. I had landed at O'Hare, and I got a rental car. And I was driving down to Champaign to do my CBS Ohio State-Illinois game Sunday afternoon. And it's about 11 o'clock at night, and my phone is buzzing. Like, I go, what is going on? I look at my phone when I drive. So what is going on? So I pulled off to the side, and I see this thing from Shams,
wow,
who I do the 2K video game with. And I go, no, I don't know about this.
Fake, right?
Yeah. I thought, this is baloney. And then he reiterated it and then gave more details to it. And I go, oh, my God, this is his official account. I don't think he's been hacked. This is a deal. I get all of his notifications because he's so good, just like Woj. And was stunned and literally laid in bed that night just thinking, what does this mean for the Lakers? Oh, they got a baton guy to hand off to now, LeBron to Doncic, and on the most glamorous team in bro basketball. What's this do to the Dallas Mavericks? He took him to the finals last year. He's a five-time first-team All-NBA player. To trade a guy who's 25, it must have been something pretty significant. We'll find out eventually, but I'm not saying egregious. I think that's too hard a word. But whether it was conditioning or whether it was the max at 345 that was down the road when this contract's over, whether they just couldn't count on him health-wise, I don't know. I don't know what it was, but man, oh man, this trade, it just doesn't happen. And for the first time that I can recall, the NBA stole the NFL's thunder,
yeah.
Right? They've taken the headlines over the last 3 or 4 days.
Everyone was talking about it.
I know it. Yeah. It's amazing.
I know you got to run, but I just want to say this before we let you run. Obviously, you're one of the best broadcasters in the business, but I don't know if there's a better person in the business.
No, seriously,
what you do for young broadcasters like myself and the nice things that you say, it goes a long way. And anytime someone asks me about Kevin Harlan, because people ask me a lot about you, I go, better person than broadcasting.
Thank you.
That's
really
Thank you,
my friend. So nice to see him. So happy for your success. You're in this big time. Oh, my gosh. You're flying, baby.
Yeah, I've been fooling enough executives all these years.
You are taking off. You are on it. Congratulations on all your success. I'm glad to call you a friend.
You got it.
Glad we're buddies.
Thanks so much.
Good to see you.
He is Kevin Harlan, Zach Gelb here with you, Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, back on Radio Row, Zach Gelb, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network, and we got the Defensive Player of the Year from the Denver Broncos, and that, of course, is Pat Surtain, the second, joining us right now. What was that like for you last night when you got the announcement?
Yeah, it was an awesome feeling, to be honest. Very surreal. It's something that I had in mind, goals-wise. It's something that I manifested and went after, man. I put in the work for it, and it was instant gratification. Not only that, because I had my whole family in the audience with me, and it was a celebration after. So it was definitely a huge accomplishment.
So I live in New York, and before the season, people said, who's the best defensive back in football? And a lot of New Yorkers weren't happy with me because I said Pat Surtain, and they wanted me to say Sauce Gardner. So to not only have the debate who's the best corner, but now the best defensive player in all of the game, that's just – with what you've accomplished so young in your career – and obviously with your football lineage, it's got to kind of be pinch-yourself surreal moments.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, it didn't happen overnight, I could say. Everything was bought into the process, you know, putting in the work, staying diligent towards my craft, and everything else would follow. So, you know, I stayed the course, stayed myself, and the rest led the way. So, yeah, I'm just honestly blessed. You know, I mean, like you said, it feels surreal. It still feels like I'm in a dream, in the fog right now, because, you know, when you work for something, it means much more at the end of the day. So
I had Champ Bailey on before the season started and asked about you. And right away, this is high praise, he said he could accomplish everything I did, I expect him to, and then some. Mm. When you hear that from Champ Bailey, what does that mean to you?
That's huge, man, especially the type of caliber of player he is. I mean, when you talk about a cerebral player, I mean, he's done it for years and years at a high level. It honestly means a lot hearing that from him. You know, I still got a lot more work to do to get to that point, but yeah, definitely. You know, it's always a great feeling when you hear it from the greats.
So with your dad and then your football background, you grew up clearly, you know, with pretty much a football in your hand, I would imagine. But when did you know, hey, this is not just something I like. This is something I could be great at.
I realized it like my sophomore year of high school, when I started getting offers, you know, recognition. My name was getting even more recognized out there in the football world. And, I just started getting offers, you know, lining them up, you know, week in and week out. Then I realized I started getting stronger, faster. I was like, okay, I'm built for this. Like, I'm built for this moment. And, you know, I realized that so early on, like in my high school career. But it was something that I had in mind. It's always been a dream of mine and that I worked at. So I definitely felt that once the offers started coming in and I started getting recognition.
Pat Surtain II here with us, the Defensive Player of the Year. And it still has a good ring to it. I'm sure that's not going to get old. When you look at your season this year on the offensive side of the ball, when you have your quarterback, Bo Nix, when he was drafted 12th overall, I was surprised. I questioned it. He shut me up real quickly, though. Man, Bo is impressive. Not only what he did on the field, but then as the leader. He seems as if he's a 10-year pro already.
Yeah, like I say, he's very, like, cool, calm, and collected. That's his energy. That's his whole personality, his persona. And I think he shines on the brightest stages, you know. If you look at all the big games, he always shines the brightest. And that's one thing I can say about him, man. He's very confident in his game. And I'm looking forward to his future, man. I know this is not the not only the start for him, but like he's leading up towards even more and more greatness.
So I thought this was a huge year for Sean, and we all know Sean's a great coach, but you know, with everything that happened in year one with him and Russ, and then it was, okay, what's going to happen in year two to try to win some people back and win some people over? Mm-hmm. Sean as a coach, what has he kind of done not only for your organization but also for your career?
I mean, he's done a lot. He played a huge part, obviously, in towards our team success. Just establishing confidence, that mantra of swagger that he's brought to the team. I mean, it's something that was needed. It was necessary. And, you know, he's done a great job, him, the Penners, and the whole coaching staff, just going on with, we're going to bring this winning culture, and we're going to stick with it, stick with the program, stick with the process. And that's what he's been definitely on, honing in on, is the winning process, the winning formula, and, you know, the confidence to be able to do that.
So when we look at this Super Bowl, I'll ask you one thing about the game. Everyone's talking offense, 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 offense with Jalen Hurts and Mahomes and Saquon, A.J. Brown, Kelce. You go on and on and on mm-hmm. when we talk about these weapons. But this game's going to be one defensively. And, you know, it could be a high-scoring game. Maybe one of the defenses make it a lower-scoring game. But whoever makes that crucial turnover, and, man, the defensive players in this game, since we always just talk and market offense, there's a bevy of great defensive players, especially young defensive players on both sides.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, it's going to come down to defense. Defense wins championships at the end of the day. Both teams got great defenses. Both got great defensive coordinators as well, too. So it's definitely going to have to come down to which defense plays the best, you know, towards the end of the game, all four quarters, to win the game.
What's it like going up against Mahomes?
It's frustrating, man. It's frustrating. I mean, he's a magician back there. It's like the plays that he makes is like you just got to sit back and, you know, just give applause to, because, you know, the throws, the plays, you know, his awareness, you know, the second act, you know, everything that involves great quarterback play, he has all the intangibles. So, I mean, it's definitely frustrating because you think you have them, then at the same time you don't.
Toughest wide receivers, three. Give me three to go up against.
Shoot. Jamar Chase, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams.
Jefferson? Have you gone up against
him? I haven't gone against Justin yet, but I'm looking forward to that matchup for sure. It's definitely going to be a battle.
Because to me, he's the best wide receiver in the league.
Yeah,
you're the best defensive back, now the best defensive player in the league.
I'll definitely give him credit for sure, man. He's definitely the best. But the guys I went up against so far, I have to say them three.
And then who are the three best corners in football?
Me.
One, two, and three?
No.
Just one.
Exactly. Me, say Sauce, and Stingley.
Gotcha. So. Hey, I know you're doing stuff with Applebee's today. I love Applebee's. As a kid, they had this thing called half-off apps in high school. Everyone would go every Friday night. It was awesome. Tell us what you're doing with the partnership here.
Yeah, so I'm partnering up with Applebee's Super Bowl Sunday. You get 20 boneless wings with a $40 purchase Super Bowl Sunday. And you can either use Applebee's.com or the mobile app to your liking. And, you get 20 boneless wings, whatever flavors you want, to enjoy on Super Bowl Sunday to watch a great game. So,
ranch or blue cheese?
Ranch all day.
Ugh. You're the defensive player of the year. You're held to a higher standard right now. Enough with the ranch crap. It's blue cheese.
Man, ranch been my go-to since day one. I'm never leaving. Ranch been on my side since day one.
It's the one flaw you have, all right? That's the biggest problem with your game. If you don't have a good season next year, the key, blue cheese, you'll win the defensive player of the year back-to-back years.
For sure.
Good to see you. Thanks so much. Congratulations.
Appreciate you.
There he is, Pat Surtain II, joining us on Radio Row. It is Zach Gelb Show. It's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, gets to ask us a question. It's brought to you by Riley Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Still to come on the show, Will Anderson Jr. is going to stop by. Donovan McNabb as well.
This is the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, welcome back inside the Convention Center live. Radio Row, Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I always feel awkward when I have someone's stat sheet up in front of me and they sit down. You know, if it was Wikipedia, then I think it's worse, because then I always feel as if the guest is then like, oh, this guy doesn't really know what he's talking about. The reason why I have your stat sheet up here, Zaire Franklin, 167 tackles in 2022, 179 in 2023, and 173 in 2024.
Yeah.
Do you ever miss a tackle?
Too many, according to some, but I guess I get a couple every now and then.
So the trajectory and what happened the last 3 years is when you have really taken off. How do you explain kind of the growth of you as a football player later on in your career with more opportunity?
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, coming into the league, seventh round, you know, just from, you know, Syracuse and, you know, having to get it the hard way, have to earn my way on the roster, you know, learn how to be valuable to the team, you know, via special teams and, you know, leadership and other things. But I always believed who I could be. I always believed I was not only a starter, but I could be a guy in this league. So, even from day one, even when I had no opportunity, I was preparing myself like I was going to be a starter. And I was, you know, training every day that like I was going to go out there and play every day, every play. So when I finally did get my opportunity, nothing much really had to change. You know, I just had to, you know, take advantage of the moment. And, you know, thankfully, being around some coaches that believe me and my guys that have my back, I've been able to have some success.
Was Dinosaur Barbecue your favorite at Syracuse?
I love me some Dino's Barbecue. I actually just went back.
Big ribs.
Nah, I just went back because I just coached a spring game this
past
really? Year. Yeah, shout out to Fran Brown.
I know Fran. Year. I went to Temple.
Oh, you went to Temple?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we locked in. I grew up right around North Philly.
Yeah,
so
yeah, no,
sure.
I know.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite cheesesteak? I'll get to Fran Brown in just a second.
Oh, well. For sure, Del Sandro's.
Okay, I know the owners.
I tried to, you said where?
I know the owners for Del
Sandro's. Oh, yeah, I did too. I brought the team there when we played the Scrimmage Eagles. What's your cheesesteak spot?
So, I love Del Sandro's.
Uh-huh.
My favorite, though, is in Bala Cynwyd, Mama's Cheesesteak.
Mm.
Weird Hours. Mm. It's got a four cheese blend, though.
Okay.
It absolutely delicious. It's like a mystery cheese. I think it's a four
cheese
blend.
Okay, you know ball. You know ball. There's nothing else to be said. You know ball. Because I got my own little, shout out to Papa Nick's of old Islandy. Everybody got their little jank.
And
yeah,
then if you go down the shore, White House Subs.
Yeah.
If you go down to the Atlantic City area, White House Subs is unbelievable. And then
Ishka Bibbles. I love Ishka
Bibbles. Oh, Ishka Bibbles.
I love Ishka
Bibbles. Deion Dawkins actually took me to Ishka Bibbles the first time.
Yeah, Ishka Bibbles is a bop, bro. Yeah,
and then Bradley Cooper, right, just opened up a cheesesteak spot in New York City.
He's out here, right?
Yeah, I'm pissed. I'm so annoyed.
Is he done?
No, because that cheesesteak truck. They opened up the shop in New York City. It's 3 hours to wait. It's basically Angelo's.
They're in cahoots with Angelo's.
Mm-hmm. And they have the truck here, and I'm sitting here, and I'm starving. And they have the truck, and there's like seven people in line.
Yeah, but let me say this. Do you want to come to New Orleans and get a cheesesteak?
No,
steak,
I don't.
Yeah, that's the only
Thank
thing.
You.
That's the only thing. I don't know if that now. I mean, don't get me wrong. Shout out to Bradley Cooper. I tried to go to Angelo's. I was just in the city 2 weeks ago before the Pro Bowl. And I tried to go to Angelo's, but I don't know why I waited till Sunday. Or until Saturday, and it was the day before they played the Commanders. The city was on fire. I pulled up. My wife told me to go at 11. I was being lazy. We pulled up 1 o'clock. The line is down the street. I mean, it's Eagles fans with carry-on luggage straight from the airport. Just Angelo's. So I've never actually had Angelo's, but I've heard Angelo's is really good, too.
The thing, though, is, like, come
the
on.
Bread.
Hold on. Yes, the bread. Yours out here, Franklin, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I you know, we
I
in the
know
city,
you don't
though.
Like to play that
yeah,
game.
Yeah,
but when
yeah.
it comes to food, you use that as your advantage.
Now, I hope my wife doesn't hear that, because she gets mad that I don't throw my name around so much. Every time I call a restaurant and we don't got a time, she's like, did you tell them who you are? I'm like, oh, my God.
I know you don't like to do that, but for food, you got to kind of do it.
Yeah,
you're in a certain level right now.
Let me see how far my name get me in New Orleans.
You know, if it was Zaire Franklin in 2019, I don't know if it works, but Zaire Franklin in 2025, you could get a spot at Angelo's, right? They'll take a picture of
you. Yeah, you might be right.
Eat some cheesesteaks. It'll work. You know what?
You might be right.
I may walk up there and say, I'm Zaire Franklin,
and see
if they believe it.
And I'll co-sign it. Just call me. I'll let them know.
All right, so Fran Brown, what were your impressions of him?
Man, Fran just real, bro. You know, I had met Fran back when he was at Temple back then, too. Temple was my first BCS offer. Now, back then, BCS. Ain't no such thing as BCS now. But
just called NIL now.
Yeah, facts. But, so I knew that Temple staff really well with Matt Rhule back
then.
Shout out to Matt Rhule. But, yeah, Fran's been real ever since I met him. Every guy I ever knew who played with him, played for him, from Temple to Baylor, always sung his praises. Obviously, that was pretty much my most time I really had a chance to spend around him and obviously the program. They had some good guys come out this year too, man. Very successful. I was really happy I had a chance to, you know, just spend some time with that Syracuse team. They were special this year.
Fran used to call me He would call me at like the most ridiculous
hour.
Yeah,
that's what Fran is.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, you know that one day I'm going to be a head coach.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to be honest. And I don't know how he felt about this. Early on in Fran's career, I thought he was just going to be a position coach or he was going to be a coordinator.
Yeah.
The growth that he really went through when he was at Georgia, that's when I think the vision was really there, learning from Kirby Smart, where it's, okay, I'm really good at what I do. I'm an awesome recruiter. I have the personality. Now I think he learned how to be and get groomed to be a head coach from Kirby.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome to hear, too. I feel like you can see that, though. And I think, you know, shout out to Kirby and Nick Saban and a lot of those guys who do a good job of building that coaching tree. I think it's no secret to, you know, what that SEC coaching tree really does. They do a good job of putting their assistants in positions to succeed and teaching them how to grow and be better moving forward. So
Zaire Franklin here with us. How do you kind of look back at the whole Anthony Richardson thing that happened that this year with the bench and then eventually him getting back on the field?
I mean, I'm just one of them type of people that just I see opportunity in every, you know, setback or a possible negativity. Oh, my God, that's Blue. Blue is crazy.
Oh, the mascot.
Yeah.
See, the funniest thing about him is the mascot Blue when there's like a missed kick.
Yeah, he's crazy.
or they make a kick.
Yeah.
He's going nuts with the goalposts.
Yeah, Blue is
nuts.
Crazy. What I would say about Anthony is, man, I just see opportunity, you know. So obviously he had, you know, some situations that he had to go through, he had to learn from. But, you know, what I tell him and what I tell all the young guys when they go through bad situations or, you know, tough times, bro, it's just making your story better, bro. The farther you fall or, you know, the most adversity that you go through, that's going to make your greatness stronger. That's going to give you resolve. And how you respond is going to be a great story for when you're a vet or you're looking back and talking to a younger dude and talking them through their adversity. Because the reality situation is it's just the trial that you're going through at this time, but that doesn't mean it's going to end. Once you succeed and you push through that, you're going to face another opportunity to grow. You're going to face another setback that you're going to have to work through, whether that's winning in the playoffs or, you know, trying to, you know, achieve MVP set, whatever that is. There's always going to be another ceiling to breakthrough. So just use this as an opportunity to continue to grow and show the world who you really are.
What's Shane Steichen like as a head coach?
Oh, man, Shane Sharp, man. I love playing for Shane. He's one of my favorite coaches that I've had. He's all ball. He loves the game, man. He loves the game. Shane was right here. You ain't gonna get him talking to him about Anthony. But if you get him in here and you get to talking about RPOs and how to beat cover four and trap two, and you get him talking about that, he'll sit and talk to you about it for hours. I mean, Shane loves the game, and I love that about him. He understands the guys. He's a competitor. He's super competitive. I think he's the guy, you know, that's going to help lead us to the promised land.
You know, you look at two situations this year, Lamar Jackson with Derrick Henry.
Right.
And then also Jalen Hurts with Saquon Barkley. Yep. You guys have a great running back.
For sure.
And Jonathan Taylor.
Indeed.
What can you envision that offense being if Anthony's at his best and you still have some prime years left, obviously, of JT?
Man, I mean, it's been beautiful in the glimpses that we've gotten. You know, the Tennessee game, JT runs for 200, Anthony runs for 890. You know, how do you stop that? You know, as a defensive player, when you got a running back that's as dynamic with the vision, the quickness, the burst, the footwork of JT, you have to be very gap conscious. You have to be very, you know, mindful of where he is and where his leakage could possibly come from. But then when you pair that with a running back who can pull it and also really might take it 70 yards, I mean, that's a tough thing to stop. So
I think it's as tough as ever now to play defense because there's so many rules that goes against you guys. Mm-hmm. I have no clue how to hit the quarterback or hit anyone anymore. And now you have these bigger quarterbacks that are mobile, and you have no clue if they're going to throw it, if they're going to hand it off, or if they're going to take it themselves and run downfield as well. How do you kind of get into the position that you're in right now, where all you do is make tackles left and right in an era where it's so hard to just tackle people?
I would say the reality of the situation is most of these schemes or systems, they're constantly reading you. So they're trying to put people in lose-lose situations. Okay, this guy pulls here, then the quarterback pulls it, but there's also you know, receiver outlet. So they're just trying to give, you know, multiple fail safes to try to help, you know, attack defenses and put us in tough situations. My mindset, and obviously it's the mindset of Coach Lou, having a chance to sit and talk some ball with him before I came out here, is to dictate to the offense what you want them to do. So, for example, before you playing, I mean, before you play Lamar Jackson, you would be like, look, whoever the running back is, let him run. You know what I mean? Now you got Derrick Henry, so I don't know if that's actually how you approach that situation. But, you know, just kind of make sure you, you know, play with their reads, you know, switch up, you know, what you're going to do. Try to make the quarterback uncomfortable, because the moment that he hesitates, that's when you win.
Luana, remind, I know you just touched on it a little bit, but I think that's someone that should have still been in Cincinnati, if I'm just being honest. The Bates, Jesse Bates going from Cincinnati to Atlanta really changed that defense, but geez, man, you guys got a pretty damn good defensive coordinator coming in.
That's what the guy, everyone is saying. You know, Lou's reputation and the respect that he has in the league speaks for itself. I mean, just being at the Pro Bowl last week, you know, all the guys that, you know, played with him in Cincinnati or, you know, competed against him, talked about how special of a coordinator he was. So I'm just thankful that we have that mind from him, thankful that I have an opportunity to learn underneath him and continue to grow my game and develop it in ways that I haven't had the opportunity to do before.
Using your football cap, and you're rooting for the Eagles, right?
It's Philly, man. I ain't got no choice. It's crazy because –
How do you break this game down then?
I mean, I think it's Saquon versus the front seven. I think that's where the game is. If the Eagles can control the clock, but at the same time, you know, Patrick Mahomes, man, you know, he's just been in this situation before. I just feel like when you're facing a generational talent like that, that's playing for something bigger. Like he's not. Yeah, he's playing for the game, but he's chasing legacy. He's not chasing, you know, the Eagles obviously chasing the first Super Bowl win, and obviously it would be great to have that for the city and for the organization, but Kansas City is chasing something different, man. They're trying to stamp something in history, and, you know, sometimes that's a force that's hard to be reckoned with.
So the last thing I'll ask you, Zaire Franklin, how do you – because the Colts are actually the only team that has never lost to Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Out of all the teams in the league.
Well, we did lose to him in 2018 in the playoffs. With Andrew Luck.
Sorry. Check that.
Yeah.
I said that wrong. It's a long week.
Nah, you all right.
He has never defeated in the regular season the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
Out of all teams in the league.
Yeah.
How do you beat him?
You know, obviously, I mean, Josh Allen was beating him in the regular season, and that didn't matter. So let me just start by saying that you got to beat him when it counts.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just think, you know, we do a good job of competing, you know, and coming out there and giving them, like I said, giving them different looks, giving them different game plans. You know, we've been, you know, had a couple of good defensive performances against them. I know we go to Kansas City next year, so that's going to be fun. I love playing in Kansas City, even though the locker room sucks, but the game environment is awesome. When we played them in 18, when we had Andrew Luck, that was my rookie year. They was throwing snowballs at us. I always love when fans like hate the other team. If I go to another stadium and the fans don't hate me, I feel like y'all not real fans.
Were you throwing snowballs as an Eagle fan as a kid at opposing teams?
Oh, for sure. If I could, I would have definitely snowballed any of the Giants. I would have definitely. That's a part of it. If you don't hate the other team, then how are you really a fan?
Yeah. Well, we appreciate the time. Good luck. All right.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, man.
There he is, Zaire Franklin, joining us on the show. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, and the Zach Gelb Show on Super Bowl Radio Row is sponsored by Tide Pods. Turn to cold water washing with the Tide Pods. When you switch from hot to cold, you could save up to $150 a year on your energy bill. Plus, Tide cleans great in cold. All right, we've got a few more minutes here before we got to take our final break of the day. But really do appreciate Zaire Franklin stopping by with us on the show. Still to come, Donovan McNabb is going to join us at the top of the hour. And also in about 30 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Will Anderson Jr., who once again, his first 2 years in the league, he has been unbelievable with the Houston Texans. And for Donovan, there's going to be a lot of Eagles chatter. There will be a lot of Kansas City Chiefs chatter. Also, we'll get into Eli Manning with the Hall of Fame with Donovan McNabb. And in addition to that, you got those NFL awards. And the NFL awards came out last night. I'm not big on the whole award show, if I'm just being honest. But I will say I thought the three most interesting ones, where I have a minute here to kind of catch my breath, so I'll just give you those awards. Head coach of the year, Kevin O'Connell. You get into the comeback player of the year in Joe Burrow. And then also Josh Allen for MVP. So I'll give you a thought on each of them. I kind of thought for Coach of the Year this year, Kevin O'Connell is more than deserving to win the award. And if you would have told me before the season the Vikings would have been a playoff team, I could see it. I wouldn't say I expected it, but I could see it. Where Sam Darnold was at that level, I think in the regular season, because remember, it's a regular season award, that's why he won the award. But if I was voting, and I don't have a vote, but if I was voting, I would have put DQ, Dan Quinn won. The Washington Commanders, and I know you associate them more with Jaden Daniels, but they had to really go through an entire culture shift. And I know an enormous part was that Dan Snyder was out, but I thought Dan Quinn was the best coach in football this year, but I'm not irate about Kevin O'Connell. Comeback player of the year, I think we should just get rid of it. You know, Joe Flacco winning last year, when he came on this show, remember, and he said, what did I come back from? Getting off the couch? How DeMar Hamlin didn't win that award when he almost died is something I just will never get. And this year, see, if I would have told you Kevin O'Connell would have won Coach of the Year and Sam Darnold wouldn't have won Comeback Player of the Year, it just doesn't make sense. So the how Sam Darnold didn't win the award makes no sense to me. And I get it, Joe Burrow, if his team would have made the playoffs, I kind of think he would have been the MVP of the league. But how Joe Burrow wins Comeback Player of the Year, and obviously the passing yards, the passing touchdowns, those numbers are unbelievable. But he already won the award once. Now, you can win it twice, it's happened. But I thought the Comeback Player of the Year should have been to Sam Darnold. And then MVP, I have no problem with Josh Allen. And here's why. He did more with less. Yes, Lamar Jackson's stats were unbelievable. Lamar Jackson's stats were better than Josh Allen, but he also had Derrick Henry with him. Not taking anything away from him. And I love Lamar, but it's the most valuable player, and I thought that Josh Allen should have won it, and he did win it.